All right, we've had three home matches at Championship Soccer Stadium, still looking for a victory for Orange County. They did get another result, so 2 points in three matches. Probably not super excited about that, but we're looking ahead. We got some more matches coming, especially a match against an Eastern Conference foe again. Three Eastern Conference opponents in the first four matches of the season. We'll talk about that plus much more. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Let's run through the gauntlet and see who's joining me tonight to help out with this discussion. First, the person that's getting the first welcome almost every episode at this point, that's Mr. Brad out in Vegas. Brad, how you doing?
Man, if Dylan never comes back, you know, I will always be first, and unless Mr. Andy decides that I am no longer worthy of such a entitled, wonderful role. But it's nice to be back.
As always, always nice to be back. Who else do we have here? We got the bearded man himself, Raymond Allen Butterfuss, Senior.
Senior.
What is the date representing?
24 years ago today, my dad passed away. So I am remembering my dad tonight. So Pops, if you're watching, I don't know if you are because you hated soccer, but miss you, man.
And your dad has an amazing first name, by the way. So props to him for that.
He really does.
Yes. And then we have a guest joining us all the way from the East Coast. And it's someone that if you've watched our show back when COVID was going on and we didn't have competitive soccer, pitch soccer to talk about, this is one of those fellow podcasters, fellow video game enthusiast that was participating in the EUSL. That's Mr. Mike from the Nutmeg State. How are we doing, Mike?
Good. It's late out here in the Nutmeg State. Just got back from the pub watching some national team footy and ready to talk to you guys about this upcoming match. It's going to be a good one. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's an interesting season this year with so many cross conference matches taking place. It feels like you're seeing so many teams that you've never seen play. I know a lot of us will watch the matches as they're on ESPN Plus or as you catch a glimpse while you're doing other stuff. But really most of us are focusing on maybe one, maybe two teams that we really enjoy. And then we'll watch the rest just to have a little bit of knowledge. But with this season, you have to sort of keep a lookout for all the teams. And for Orange County, it's unusual, right? Three of our first four matches this season are against Eastern Conference teams. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do things a little bit different because you are East Coast. It's a little bit late out there for you. What is it like? 11 o'clock for you out there. So let's just get on to the talk
in Orange County. Look at that. Yeah. Surprising. We've actually had three Western Conference. You'll be the third Western Conference foe. So it's crazy because we had Colorado Springs, Monterey Bay, and now you guys and Birmingham at home this past weekend was the only Eastern Conference foe that we've seen thus far. So yeah, it's a crazy start to the season from that respect.
Yeah, but let's talk about this upcoming match so we can respect your time in case you need to go get to bed early. Again, I know it's late out there. So let's talk about this this matchup. So Orange County has faced two Eastern Conference foes. You're probably very familiar with teams that we faced in Louisville City and Tampa Bay Rowdies. Yeah. And Orange County looked decent against both of them, especially against Tampa. There was a lot of missed opportunities. How would you... You know, with your knowledge of those teams, how would you compare Hartford to those teams as far as just like the level of play and what Orange County fans maybe can at least get a little excited about. Maybe Hartford's not at the level of a Louisville or a Tampa. I'm not trying to diss you, but it seems like those are the two teams that are always top of the table in the Eastern Conference year in and year out. So what are your thoughts? How does Hartford compare to those two opponents that we've already faced this year?
Yeah, I mean, look, historically, Louisville's always going to be at the top. Tampa's typically at the top, although not right now. Pittsburgh's always there, right? Hartford, relatively new on the scene compared to those guys, doesn't have the same pedigree, doesn't have the same number of stars, I guess you could say. You know, this year, and I wouldn't let our, you know, 0-2-1 record fool you, because while we went out and really, I don't know, sucked, I guess is the word, against Monterey Bay, we let in 5 goals, 3 of them to one of our former boys, and Alex Dixon, who we all still hold in high regard, but hate him to death because he always just destroys us whenever we play him. We played a really solid game, should have come away with 3 points against Colorado Springs, and then played super tough, especially in that second half against Birmingham this last weekend. And, you know, Birmingham, I think they're going to finish near the top, if not at the top of the table. Their roster is just stacked, especially up front. You know, I think that our team is improving drastically week over week, especially, I mean, Tab Ramos just coming in as manager has just, you know, changed the entire culture of the locker room. So, you know, on paper, it might look like we're sitting at the bottom of the table and not that strong, but, I think we'll be able to give you guys a run for your money for sure. I mean, we had like 3 sitters that we missed within like 6 yards of the goal this past weekend. So convert those opportunities and it's a whole different game.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of sounds like what our match was against Tampa Bay a couple weeks back, where we really struggled to just capitalize on probably a good 6 or even more opportunities to get the ball in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. Which I know as a fan of any team, that's pretty disappointing when you can't finish like that. What was the fans' reception to Tab Ramos joining the club, and how excited were the fans with him taking the reins as the manager? And what have you seen as an improvement for the club under Tab?
Yeah, I mean, it's Tab and Ray Reed. You got to give him some credit too, our technical director. I don't know if everyone's so familiar with him out on the West Coast, but he's somewhat of a legend here in Connecticut. He was UConn's coach for the better part of 2 decades, won a national title there. So those two coming in have just completely revamped everything that's going on the technical side and on the football side with Hartford Athletic. And, you know, Tab, when he was announced, it was crazy because we were really down and out from a morale standpoint, both in terms of, you know, the players and the fans. And then he comes in, and even we're sitting at the bottom of the table, but we start all of a sudden winning games and packing the stands. I mean, you know, we were getting around like 4,500 people, you know, in Dillon Stadium before that. And then it was standing room only as soon as he had arrived. So definitely a great shot in the arm with regards to, you know, all aspects of the team and the culture. Everyone was super excited. I actually had the honor of being the first one to leak the news prior to his press conference. Whether or not they wanted me to do it, I had some great news, so I had to do it. And it was everyone was just so excited. I saw all of the first reactions from across the country, and it was jaw-dropping that someone with the caliber and pedigree of Tab Ramos was named gaffer at Hartford Athletic. So I see a lot of potential. Everyone's super happy. Everyone's working super hard. And a lot of the guys in the locker room say it's the hardest they've ever worked. And you know, the results will start to come. I'm damn sure of it.
Let me, do this. I don't really do this that early, but we did have a question from someone watching live, and that's Chuck. Ooh. He's asking why the early start? Why such a matinee, especially when you're facing a Western conference team, a Pacific time zone team? Sometimes those matinee starts are killer for us because obviously people have a lot of things that they're doing in the middle of the day, whether they have kids, they're doing youth soccer, or they have activities they're doing with family. Why the early start this week? Do you have any knowledge on that?
There's this thing called weather here on the East Coast, and It can be really cold at night this early in the season, as well as later in the season for the playoffs. But I think it really had to do with weather conditions. And it was definitely chilly and rainy this past week. And it should be nice and warm, a nice balmy 60 degrees and rainy this week. But when they were putting the schedule together, I mean, you look at this time last year, last few years, we were having massive snowstorms at the end of March. So this really kind of was a weather decision as far as I know. And I have always pushed, I love afternoon soccer, you know, show up at a 10 a.m. tailgate, do some kegs and eggs and go in and watch the game. And then you have all day to sober up in the parking lot before heading home. I mean, that's fantastic. Who doesn't want that? And it doesn't, you know, hurt that the game is in the morning so that we can all head on up to stores and watch UConn in the Final Four that evening. That's an added perk, as they say.
I know. I'm wondering, like, if the match would have conflicted with UConn, would that have taken away from some of the crowd out there for you guys? Or do you think the fandom is separate enough where the fans for Hartford would have stayed at the soccer match or gone to the soccer match?
No, it probably would have been on a lot of phones inside the stadium and then a mad dash to the breweries around the stadium to be able to watch the second half, which is pretty much what happened with the women playing this last Saturday in the Sweet 16. It's a small state, so there's not really, you know, too much divided fandoms. People who didn't even go to UConn still love watching the Huskies in March, so it's I would say everyone would want to take in as much sports as they possibly can. So the schedule is just working out for us.
And then one question I know all Orange County fans are just want to know, like, what's it like to be able to tailgate at the stadium?
Oh, it's a good time. It's a great time. It's so, again, by virtue of the state being so small, you know, all of the major cities in Connecticut are within like 45 minutes of each other. And there's not that many of them, but, you know, you'll have folks from New Haven, which is widely known as having the best pizza in the entire country. They'll bring up some pies. We got people grilling. There's a bunch of games going on. People show up early, and tailgating is kind of part of our DNA, especially part of our supporters group. So it's a good party. So typically, you know, we get about 3 hours prior to kickoff to all hang out and party and chill and do whatever it is that we're going to do. And then kind of head on in right before it gets going. And then afterwards, sometimes there's a post-game tailgate is too. So it's fun out there in the parking lot. That's for sure.
Yeah. That was sort of a dig because Orange County fans really can't tailgate where their stadium is. It's the city doesn't allow tailgating. Uh-huh. It's in like a city park is where the stadium's located. The city doesn't allow it. So, the sad part is there's not really options for like a bar or a pub to go to before the match and then walk or march to the stadium. So that was just sort of a question, just, you know, rub it in our face. Tailgating is fun and awesome and we don't get to experience it as much.
Yeah. But smoke bombs are illegal in Connecticut and they actually fine us pretty heavily whenever we try to do something with those. So you got that over us. So we'll each take something.
And I tell you, though, there's a lot of fans that come to that section not knowing that that'll happen. You get a lot of upset soccer moms and stuff like that. But it's what they get for sitting near the rowdies, right?
It's what they get. I don't know what to tell them.
Let's get back onto the pitch side of things, though. What are what's the player that Orange County fans should be scared of heading into this match?
Oh, I mean, there's a couple, right? Prince Sadie, he had a brace in our first match. He was looking great. I think Antoine Opino is someone to really look out for this week because I have not seen a player so upset with a loss than he was at the end of the last match. I mean, he collapsed on the pitch and was just beside himself, and he has a lot to prove. And you know, this guy is not used to losing. He's never missed the playoffs in his career. So coming off of a loss like that and being so upset, I really think Opino is going to have a great game, if not scoring goals. I mean, he's an assist machine. So that's definitely someone that you should keep an eye on.
Perfect. I'm going to hand it off. I'm going to let Larry and Brad fight over who wants to ask a question next.
Larry, go for it.
Well, you were Mike, a couple minutes ago, you were talking about the supporters group.
Yes.
Now, well, first of all, I will trade you. I see it. I like it. I will trade you, though, tailgating for some smoke bombs. I'll make that trade right now. On behalf of County Line Coalition and Orange County Soccer Club, I will make that trade.
Well, we're actually lobbying at the Capitol. We're doing it the legal way, which is weird for soccer supporters to do. But I actually testified in front of the legislature in favor of smoke bombs last month. Nice. So we're working on that. So hopefully I'll have my way and I won't have to give you anything and I get everything, right? So
well, that's what we're I was going to say, look at there's a little bit of a connection here, right? The legal battling with lawmakers, us with Irvine, the supporters in Hartford with yes. the state legislator. We know some things about speaking in front of people that maybe have no idea what soccer is.
Yeah, at least my we were all laughing and smiling during my testimony. I think your guys' case was a little bit different.
just a bit, but I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and I'll give you the smoke bombs and I'll give you the tailgating and I'll take the 3 points on Saturday. How's that sound?
I don't think you can get any of it.
we will see. But I did have a question about your supporters group in particular. I was doing a little bit of research on Hartford because I'm not overly familiar with your club. But I guess y'all have, what, 5 or 6 different supporters, support groups? 19th Regiment, Mad Hat Massive, the Boonies, Elm City Casuals, and there was somebody else. So which group are you part of, and who tends to be the most vocal out at your games?
So that's actually something a little bit in the past. Everything's been kind of unified over the last 2 years. So throughout Connecticut. So it's that luckily doesn't exist anymore, and everyone just it's kind of just one big group.
That's to be hard if you have like 4 or 5 competing supporters groups. I mean, what was that like before? They all united. What was it? A fight? Was it a struggle? Or,
at times, I wouldn't necessarily say a fight or struggle necessarily, but at times, everyone didn't necessarily see eye to eye. When everyone gets together, it's always for a common goal, and everything was one big happy group. And then, the reason why it existed as it did was more so geographically than anything else. But luckily we all kind of saw that the greater good and the best path forward was to kind of get everyone together as one large group. There's actually 2 now, that remain, but there's no animosity or anything that happens there. Everything now is kind of as it should be and as we always kind of wanted. So everyone is super happy, and the overall leadership is kind of bits and pieces from all the different segments that kind of came together. So now it's like night and day from what it was, and it could not possibly be better in my eyes.
All right, so I know that you did talk a little bit about the players you have on the field, but I don't recall you talking too much about tactics. How does Hartford beat Orange County, or what has to go, or what goes wrong when Orange County beats Hartford? Like, what mistakes?
The easy answer is, I guess, lack of focus on the back. On our side, just having a minor lapse that leads to disaster, I guess you could say, it's really been what the Achilles heel of this at this early, early juncture has been. So if that can be tightened up and not allow those simply corrected mistakes, then it'll be really tough for you.
Okay, and how does Hartford plan on scoring goals other than Hobano, who is a very familiar foe out here in the West Hand Coast, coming from Rena?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, there was a lot of especially we saw this last week, a lot of play from the wings and off of his boot, off of Danny Barrera's, a couple of other folks, you know, to get those really solid crosses in is kind of the name of the game, or at least that's where it has been at this point. Now, if you guys are scouting, I'm sure your scouting in the FO is better than anything that I can possibly do. So hopefully we correct that. And, you know, this week we just come down the middle, but you know, it's really about the making sure that the buildup is there. And that's, we've seen some great flashes, but it hasn't been as I guess effective as we would like up to this point. But again, you know, week by week that has been improving. So we should hopefully, you know, be able to see some good finishes this week.
Perfect. We had a question I saw in the chats regarding breweries in the area. Yeah. So I'll let you, if you have any recommendations, if any of our fans happen to be making the way out there, either for this match or in the near future, if you have any recommendations for that. And then I did have one really quick before you give recommendations, because on my research, I was trying to find out, is there any way I can get a beer from Connecticut here in California? And obviously the answer was no, because of all the funky, wonky laws. I mean, legally, of course I could have asked Mike, hey Mike, can you FedEx me some beer from Connecticut? And if Mike,
and I will
do it, go for it.
And but, I will. And you can,
I was looking
the
legal way, but there was actually a really unique thing that I found, is there's a brewery in El Segundo called Surf Ridge that also has a East Coast location in Centerbrook, Connecticut. So my question for you is, have you ever been to or heard of Surf Ridge? And then what are your recommendations for some breweries in the area that you like?
Yeah, I've actually I have been to that tap room once before, and it's so crazy because everything there is basically like from Connecticut to California. I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. I didn't know if that was thematic, but to hear that there actually is one in El Segundo, that's kind of crazy. I'll have to go fly back to LAX and pop down there for a quick visit. This week there's a ton of them throughout the state, and I always kind of vary it up, and I'm not the biggest, you know, beer snob by any means. But there is one that I've already picked up for this week's tailgate called Don't Worry About a Thing, out of the Kent Falls Brewery, I think is what it's called, from Kent, Connecticut. And it's a delicious brew, and it's a great little brewery in a small little town. Absolutely love it. You know, the other one that I got to give a shout out to is Second Bridge Brewery, which is releasing a Hartford Athletic themed beer called Stoppage Time. That's going to be coming out soon. So maybe that's what'll be in the package that I legally figure out how to get out to you.
Yeah, it's the beer laws are wonky. I don't get it. Like, if I want to enjoy a good, you know, local beer from another state, it shouldn't be so difficult to get it out this way. But apparently the legal ways are very difficult to go around it. I think California is sort of strict on outside beers, you know, coming into the state for some reason. I guess they want people to support local beers.
I'll get it. You can ship out of Cali. Yeah. Why can't you ship into it? That doesn't make sense.
Last question I have for you really quick. Oh, go ahead. What'd you say, Brad?
As the Nevada resident here, I don't even know why I support a California team sometimes with how strict the state is.
Well, Nevada's like the wild, wild west of states. I mean, they just allow whatever you want to happen, right? I mean,
yeah, I could drive 30 minutes outside of town here and do unfathomable things with unfathomable people.
Oh, it's all fathomable.
Nope.
Does it involve fireworks from that one firework place that Lost Hump and Prump had?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, fireworks.
Over the Hump and Prump. There we go. really quick, Mike, and then we'll let you head out if you need to head out. Is there anyone from Orange County that scares Hartford fans going into this match?
No.
Oh,
what kind of question is that?
He just laughed at that question. I have the reigning Golden Boot winner in Milan Alosky, right?
Yeah.
There we go. That is the answer. Yeah. That is the best answer ever.
The second. Oh. I mean, no, you got to go in with no fear, like entirely. I mean, you know, we've Sanchez has been looking really, really solid. Had some great saves these last couple of weeks. I'm throwing that first match out the window where he allowed, you know, five past him. But again, that was a lot of not much help from the defense. But I mean, he's been looking stellar these last couple of weeks. And if it's one thing that we've always had going for us, it's our goalkeeping. So, you know, golden boot or not, we got a good guy between the pipes.
I should have just dragged this interview out a little bit longer and asked that question while Alex Villanueva is waiting in the green room, and then brought him on just to have some words with Mr. Mike in Hartford.
is he watching? Can he see what I'm saying?
No, no, he's not here yet. He's supposed to jump on soon, but he's not here yet. But hey, trust me.
Well, ask him a question for me.
Video.
When he hops on, ask him a question for me. Why only one goal this season? I thought he was good.
He just scored his first career goal, and it's up for goal of the week. Hush.
I know. No, it was actually a pretty good one. I did watch it earlier today. The assist
of the year right there. The goal.
You guys haven't in the first three games. You've scored in all three of them, right? So I am expecting that there should be goals on both sides in this one. I'm just I should bet the over. I'm going to bet the over, but I'll also take us to get a result.
All right. Let's do this really quick because I always like to have our guest pick my prediction for the match. That's sort of how this works. So you're going to get to do my official match prediction. For those that don't know, we do a prediction game. We'll show where we are currently in the standings later on because we have to talk about that Vegas match. But so basically what I need from you, Mike, is the score and who's scoring first for Orange County if Orange County does score a goal.
Oh boy, what is the score gonna be? I mean, if I'm being a realist and not being a total homer, my prediction would be a 2-2 draw, to be honest with you guys. Like I said, I think you guys got some scorers. I think we've got some as well, and you know, there should be a fair amount of chances on both sides. I think so. I could probably see that.
Perfect. And then does that
sound right? Does that sound realistic?
Absolutely.
That works for me.
There you go. and then you need to know who's going to score it.
Who's going to be the first goal scorer for Orange County?
Ooh, that's tough.
And remember, you're picking for me. If you want me to win, you're going to make a great choice. If you want me to lose, you can go, you know, stupid crazy and say, you know,
Colin Shuttler.
I walked into that one, right?
This is your Shuttler. Own damn fault. But you're gonna get the 2-2, so you'll even out right there.
Perfect. So 2-2. That's
called sabotage.
Scoring the first goal. I love it. Hey, you know what though? If we can, if we get the result, we get the win because you made a stupid choice there. I will take that as well too. So
yeah, my actual answer. I'll give you a fighting chance and say Dylan Powers.
No. You already gave
only because Dylan Stadium and our new mascot is named Dylan. You know, so there's a lot of Dylan love going on here.
Except for our Dylan is missing in action. So
well, maybe you'll get lucky with my prediction.
No, so I'm going with the original one because I'm hoping the stupid answer backfires on you and results in an Orange County win. By the way, really quick, hey, here we go. Wait, Mike, hang tight because I'm going to bring on another guest here really quick. You can ask the question you wanted to ask, Mike, if you really, really want to do that.
Nah, I don't want to do that. He's too nice. He looks so nice in his picture.
Awesome. Really quick, Mike, before we let you go, you want to let our listeners know if they want to hear more from you and the Nutmeg State crew, where they go, what they listen to. Socials, all that stuff. Go for it.
Yeah, Nutmeg State Podcast. We're not doing live at this point, but we are twitch.tv/Nutmeg State, so you can find us there. Also, there's the handle at Nutmeg_State on the tweets. And you can search for Nutmeg State on Spotify, Apple Podcast, all the podcast apps. They've got them there. And, you know, typically we do one a week, always bring on someone from the club, typically a player, might be technical staff or front office at times. And, you know, it's a show by supporters for supporters, similar to your own. And it's always a cracking good time. And That's it. You should go listen to the Nutmeg State podcast. Sometimes it gets off the rail. Actually, you should go watch the first episode from this season that we did with Antoine Opino, because it got off the rails. He did not get off the Zoom for like an hour. I was like, 20 minutes is up. You can go now. He's like, nah, we're just going to stick around here. And it was literally an hour. So and it was a good time. Mm-hmm. So go check that out.
Yeah, definitely. People, if they listen to us, they know going off the rails. I mean, we tend to sometimes start talking about random stuff. So, Mike, we appreciate your time. Go do what you got to do. It's late at night.
Get that garbage. Get that trash off the screen.
Go Canes.
Get that trash off the screen.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm a Carolina born and raised. They won a cup. Did they win it in Hartford? I don't think so.
Oh, no, Brad. But, you know.
We're not here to talk about hockey, boys. We're here to talk about soccer. Mike, you have yourself a great rest of your evening and enjoy your night. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Let me pitch one more thing.
Pitch it.
I directed a movie. It's called Candlewood. Go to candlewoodfilm.com and watch the trailer. We just dropped it. It's awesome. Boom.
All right. Everyone go watch the movie. And because Mike was bashing us a little bit here and there, we can bash him for his movie directorial debut.
That's fine. A lot of people are going to hate it. It's going to be great.
Thank you, Mike, for joining us. And again, we'll talk to you soon.
Great. All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye. Going from one guest, we're going to move on to another guest. This next guest scored his first goal with Orange County here this past match. And as always, excited. Larry doesn't know where to point because he's moving all over the screen, but it's Mr. Alex Villanueva. Defender is where he's playing at this point for Orange County SC. Although I don't know, is there maybe plans to move him up ahead as we get more full? But he doesn't know. He's just doing what Coach Richard Chappell asked him to do. Let me ask you this, Alex. First, welcome to the show, and let us know, how did it feel? What was going through your mind, your emotions after getting that goal, hitting the back of the net with the ball?
What's up, guys? Thank you guys for having me. I can break down the play for sure, but I remember Coach telling me to play a little higher in the second half. And through that, I was able to get a little higher on my goal as well. But I saw Milan go across the field. So I was like, oh, I have to fill that space where he left. And I don't know. I saw a shot. I thought Sparky was going to score. I was getting ready to celebrate that. But then ball popped to Milan. I saw him getting ready for the bike, and I just wanted to be in there once they scored. And, I mean, the ball just came perfectly straight to me and wouldn't assist, right? So I was able to finish that, obviously, but it's nice to get my first goal. The fans, I mean, they were loud to me. I don't know about you guys, but it was just a great experience for sure.
What goes through your mind? Like, you know, you this opportunity comes to you to put the ball back in the net. I mean, obviously, it's like a game of inches. If the ball just bounces one inch one way or the other, the ball can fly over the net. It can fly left. It can fly right. What goes to your mind? Like, what, as a goal scorer, as an athlete, what goes to your mind in those moments? Like, when you're just hoping the ball will bounce right perfectly and you'll get a perfect hit on the ball. What goes through your mind on that?
Yeah, so basically, I'm like, I don't score that many goals. Obviously, I'm in the back most of the time. But when the ball does come to you in those positions, I mean, it kind of seems like time does slow down a little bit because you're so focused on the ball and the flight and everything. So when the ball is perfect like that, I feel like it's kind of easy to get that connection onto it. But I don't know. Hopefully I have this goal scoring instinct for the rest of the season. But in this moment, I mean, like I said, everything was kind of in slow motion when the ball came to me, and all I had to do was jump up and hopefully get a good connection and put it in the corner. So it was nice.
And then we're watching live here. We could see the replay on it, right? And we see your little celebration. Was that a planned celebration, or was that just spur of the moment? Let's move the hands back and forth. How does that go for a player?
Yeah. So actually the night before, I was actually planning a celebration because my family was going to be watching back in New York, my mom's side. And they usually don't get to catch the games because they're busy with their lives and stuff. So I was like, if I score, I have to come up with a celebration. So I remember watching a movie. It was Everything Everywhere All at Once. And my favorite character, Waymond Wang, he did a dance like this in the beginning of the movie. And I just wanted to recreate it. So
that's pretty awesome. And then obviously, you know, you got to score right in front of Catalan Coalition and celebrate a little bit. And we see you gesture to them. What does it mean for you to have those fans just like going rowdy for you after you score a goal like that and seeing the reaction from them?
Oh man, it's crazy. I love the fans. I love the County Coalition for sure. I mean, they came up with the chant, the "Oh Villain Away," but at the end of last season, right? And I remember the first time I heard it was when my dad was there, and he was so proud to hear that chant. So I thank them for coming up with it, and it's great to hear every time they sing it. But they're always so loud, and they're always like so involved in the game, and I love it, you know.
And it's awesome that I mean, they're really good at making sure every player has a chant, and they make sure you all get to hear it, which is awesome. And I'm glad to, I mean, I'm sure they're glad to know that you actually do hear it, and it does mean something to y'all. Obviously, three matches, two tough matches against Eastern Conference foes that are typically top of the table in the East, and then a match against Las Vegas. Obviously, probably 2 points after those three matches isn't the most exciting for the team. What bright spot, bright points do you see though from those first three matches that let you know this team is gonna, you know, finally start getting 3 point results and maybe go on a nice little run at some point this season?
Yeah, so obviously, like of course, the 2 points is a little disappointing at home, but we are a brand new team. Some points to take away, I think, is the way we play together. I noticed that in our second game against Tampa, when we did have those chances, I mean, we got into great chances. I mean, we could do better finishing them, obviously. But we created a lot more chances on the regular than we did last season in the offense. And that's credit to, say, Milan, Ashish, Kyle Scott, Emil up there running, you know. So I think just the chemistry is a lot better. And we move the ball a lot faster, and everybody has an idea of where everybody wants to go. This past game was a little tough because it's a different kind of opponent. They're kind of direct rather than like Tampa, who likes to play and stuff. So obviously that was a little shock. But there's some good things, especially in the defense. I noticed that my center back partner, Andrew Fox, he's very good at communicating. I know that he has my back. In the Louisville game, I mean, it could have been a little better. It was our first game, but in the Tampa game, he made sure that we ironed out all the kinks in training. He would talk to me on the side. Same with Marcus as well. And that chemistry and that talking, that communication kind of led to us being more solid as a group and as teammates as well.
So. All right, I'll hand it off to Larry.
Hey, Alex, congratulations on the goal, man. That was so much fun to watch because I was sitting right there on the front row with the County Line Coalition and just watching Milan do that bicycle and then turning my head and going, oh, crap, here comes Alex, and you're right there for it. That was beautiful, man. So congratulations on that. What I wanted to ask you about, can you tell us a little bit about your trip to Feyenoord earlier this year with Karede and Bryce? What was that experience, you know, for the three of you like? I mean, you're all young fellas, you know, big opportunity to go and work out with really a very legit club in Europe. How was that?
Yeah, it was great. They took us in welcoming. Their hospitality was great. We made sure to learn a little bit of Dutch before we went there.
It's a hard language. I lived in the Netherlands.
It's a very hard language, but I mean, we had fun doing it as a group. Obviously I room with them, so we were able to practice a little after training the Dutch. Karede was getting very good at it. He worked more than us. So when we went over there, the transition to talking to them and stuff like that was very easy because once you learn the language, I mean, everybody's a little more open to you. So we had all the team talk to us on the regular, just about life and stuff like that. And the training, as far as training goes, it was great. The first couple of training sessions, we had a little bit of jet lag, getting used to the pace of the ball and stuff like that. But we did well. We did very well over there. We got adjusted really fast. And I mean, it was just a great experience overall. It's a very good team.
And how did the pace of the game differ from the pace that you're playing at here in Orange County and in the USL Championship?
So their training sessions are very small, very small sided stuff. 1-2 touch all the time. So them growing up with that their whole entire lives, obviously they're going to be a little more like adjusted to playing 1-2 touch all the time in small spaces. Whereas, say, the training sessions in Orange County, they're a little more big, expanded, because, I mean, everybody's kind of, like, big, strong, athletic. So it's a different type of game for sure, but it's just a lot quicker, I guess, in the small spaces.
So. I guess that means it's my
– just really quick. Before Brad asks his next or his question, you know, your trip out to the Netherlands, did you get to try any interesting dishes out there? And if so, what was the worst dish you tried out in the Netherlands?
I don't want to bash anything too bad, but
everyone's taste is different, right? So what someone else might love, you might not like, you know, that it's not bashing anybody.
That's true. I mean, we kept it kind of basic with what we knew, but I mean, there was this one night I wanted to try Dutch croquettes. And so I ordered them and I thought they were going to be like, I don't know. I thought they were going to be sweet. And it turned out to be like something I wasn't expecting. And I just didn't like it, you know? And so I didn't finish it or anything like that. But I mean, some people might like them. I personally don't, but I just don't rate them like that.
I love as Alex was giving that answer, Larry had a little chuckle there with the answer of Dutch croquettes when Alex was mentioning that. So Larry must know what you're talking about there, Alex. So it's not just you.
Yeah. I passed on those on many an occasion when I was there. Yeah.
Of course.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
All right. So obviously we've seen multiple different versions of this OC team this year. One of the consistencies that we've seen this year, as kind of a similar thing from last year, is still a decent amount of mistakes. What type of training or practice goes into on the training pitch to kind of start limiting these mistakes a little and hopefully tighten up the play? Because we've seen this team, that game against Tampa was probably the best game I've seen in the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years. How do we continue moving towards that Tampa game instead of the mistake-prone games that we've kind of been on again, off again with?
Yeah, so personally, I can't really have a say in the trainings, but the trainings we do, we tend to split it up between the defense and the offense on certain days to go over the game previously that we had on the weekend. For the Louisville game, for example, there were balls in behind on my side that would go down the line and we wouldn't cover that space. So that week against Tampa, we already knew like, oh, that's something they might try to exploit. So we worked on covering that space when I leave and Fox comes and covers that space, right? So it varies game to game, but for the most part, it's just getting that understanding on defense most of the time. And the pressing, our pressing shape and stuff like that. So I think throughout the season, like I said, this is the beginning of the season. I think throughout the season that will get better once everybody's on kind of the same wavelength. And yeah, I just think it will get better, you know.
Ray's pulling a Brad. So while he's figuring out where the unmute button is, Alex, thanks for answering that question. I thought that's a very difficult question to answer, especially you know, respectfully, because it's a very tough question. So I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
So we have a couple fan questions in the chat, so we're just going to go through and ask some of these for you. One of them basically is a question wanting to know what kicks you're wearing tonight.
So right now I'm in my room, but I have a pair of Yeezy slides that I like to wear indoors. I have an outdoor pair as well. But these are just to keep on my feet because they're super comfortable.
I was hearing rumors that those might drop in price or just to get rid of them. I don't know what's going on with those shoes, but I'm sure you probably paid a nice penny for those.
Oh, of course. And luckily, I mean, I paid for my outdoor pair, but my dad got me a pair for my birthday, the indoor pair that I wear. So it's kind of nice not to pay full price for them. But if they do get cheaper, I'll make sure to buy a couple more pairs because they're very good on my feet.
And see, what else do we have on the chats here?
Alex, the your goal? Is that your favorite highlight of your time at OC?
It's up there for sure. But if I had to recall my favorite moment, I think it would have to be against LA 2 at home last season when everybody came out to support the cause in Orange County. And I did make a good tackle, I guess a track back tackle. I kept the game at 0-0. And so that was a nice experience as well. And I mean, I'm a defender, so that's my job to do that as well. But it's a great experience to help the team win in that sense.
Brad, do you have one of the fan questions?
Sure. So I'm not going to ask that one just because I don't want to sway the opinion. I'm going to ask, how does this team get more clean?
I think he's going to say more clean sheets. Alex. There we go.
More clean sheets. I just think improving on communication. I think we all have the ability to defend. It's just getting that camaraderie with each other, you know? So, I mean, we'll obviously see in the next few games. I'm yet to train this week and see what we have to work on this week. But I believe in the group to keep more clean sheets throughout the season. It's just, I think, closing out games and staying mentally focused and communication throughout the whole game is important.
Now, to add a little bit of lightness to this, because we all want to talk about wins and clean sheets and great goals. Joseph Figueroa, he asked a great question. And as somebody who had white guy afro, Joseph wants to know if you're letting the fro go out. Are you going to let it go?
Yeah, of course. I think I needed something, a change up from my last hairdo. It was getting long. It was in my face. And I just thought it wasn't as clean, you know? So I decided to cut it short through the off season. My parents helped with that decision, obviously, because they wanted me to cut my hair for the longest time. So they helped me cut my hair. I plan to grow it out again, but for the time being, I mean, this is a different hairstyle, so I'm down to try different hairstyles, maybe braids, maybe different stuff, you know? So while it grows out, I'll try different stuff, but the ultimate plan is to get a full afro, you know?
There we go. Perfect. Last question for you, Alex, before we let you go. Random question. It's karaoke time. What song are you singing? Are you going to give us a little sample of your talent?
Ooh, I'm not a good singer, but I have to think of a good song that I would sing, because right now I'm like very into rap, so I can't really sing rap. But let's see.
What rap song, if you were going up on karaoke, what rap song would you be busting out?
Ooh. That's another.
I'll tell you right now, mine, when I go to the karaoke bar, mine is ASAP Rocky Problems. So,
ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You could say whatever you want. There's no worries.
Like I said in the previous podcast that I was on, I love Babytron, right? It's a brand new artist out of Michigan. So I'll probably have to go with Jesus Shuttleworth, but it's not very PG or podcast friendly.
Not family friendly, right?
We will make you
do a sample of it for us. Don't worry about that. We don't want to get dinged for copyright infringement anyways. But any last message for the fans, Alex, before we let you go so you can rest up for training this week?
Yeah, of course. I want to thank everybody for coming out to the games. And I mean, we love the support. It's great to see everybody out there. And we hope to see you guys every home game.
Awesome. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's a defender for your Orange County Soccer Club and first-time goal scorer for Orange County here this season, Alex Villanueva. Hopefully we get to see many more goals hit the back of the net from your head, your foot, whatever legal body part you can get a goal in the back of the net. Yeah. We hope to see many more this season. Thank you so much, Alex, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Bye.
Awesome. Big screen of Brad there for the ones watching the live video feed. Really quick, thoughts on the Vegas match. I'm sure none of us are happy with a 1-point result there, but it could have been worse, right? I'll go to you, Larry, first, since I believe you were there. So you can be the one that gives the bird's eye view first.
I was there. I was there. And let me just say,
he He did that on purpose, everybody.
I absolutely deliberately muted myself because if I let out everything that I said right there, we'd probably get permanently banned. I am disappointed in a 2-2 draw in this game. Las Vegas is not a particularly good team. They didn't show me anything that was particularly impressive. We should have beaten this team 4-0. Why we didn't, I don't know. There was some mistakes on the back end. That far post goal is just it's a dagger to the heart every time it happens, and it happens just way too often. Having said that, the 2-2 score is disappointing, but there was a lot of good things to take away from this game. Milan opening his account, that is gigantic. I think the floodgates are about to open with him, because against Tampa, he had so many opportunities and he was so close. And then he just did a Milan thing. He got the ball out wide. He couple of touches back towards the middle, right foot, blow it past the goalie. Nobody's going to do it. And he doesn't need much space to do it. I mean, he had, I don't know, maybe a half a yard, and just blew it through everybody and scored. So that's a huge plus takeaway. I still like the way our center backs are playing. I like Foxy. I don't like our Fox in the middle of our box because that's creepy to me, but that's another story to be taken up later. Everybody in the CLC listening knows what I'm talking about. I love the way Marcus is playing. I think he looks fantastic. Emil up front, great to see Sparky out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. There's a lot of positives moving forward, but this 2-2 draw, God, 2 points in the first month of the season. That's just, that's a little heart-wrenching, but I'm expecting us to get 3 points this weekend against Hartford.
All right. Brad, any thoughts on the Vegas match before we move on?
Yeah, a couple. So my first thought is Jameson is still the real deal. I was very impressed with his cameo performance towards the end of the game. You know, he's going to get more minutes if he plays like that, and we're going to see more. Chada gets another start, and I think he was subbed out at halftime. He didn't have a good game. I don't know if that's just Vegas's play style is extremely different, a lot more pressing, a lot more hard, you know, hard press on that, a lot more contesting in the midfield, but definitely a lot more mistakes. And other than that, it's just nice to see the second half adjustments we made. Clearly something worked because the team came out, played with a lot more fire and a lot more aggression. Sparky played a good second half, and there's a lot more to come from this team. Obviously, coming out of March, we were talking, hey, 3 points is a good thing, but we thought 3 points would come in a win. 2 points obviously isn't the end of the season, but we looked really good against Tampa. We had a really good half against Las Vegas. The season's not over, but we need to play a lot better in the future and avoid kind of mishaps such as that Vegas draw. That's a team expected to be the worst in the West Coast.
So really quick, I think even the announcers in the game were like praising Bryce Jameson for his crosses. They just kept talking cross after cross after cross of how amazing that kid looks. So that's exciting to see. We just need this team to put it together and actually get the ball in the back of the net when they're playing really well. We should have gotten the 3 points against Tampa. Unfortunately, that didn't happen because we had numerous opportunities to get those goals there. So hopefully they put it together against Hartford this week. We did have the graphics up for our prediction contest. You could sort of, anyone that was watching live can see how things are going for that.
Yeah, they are.
Looks like Taylor is our leader for the on-air group, for the writers. It's Andy, and for the community. There's a couple of you or a few of you at six, Joshua, Kayvon, Lucas at 6 points. So keep it up. Make sure you go on and make your predictions for this next match. Also, if you go to our website, there's an article right now titled Community Ratings for the Las Vegas Lights Orange County match. Go on there and share with us what your ratings are for each of the players. Brad's working on a piece this week to share the community at large group ratings for each of the players. And I think he's got his theme picked out for that. You'll get to see what that is when that comes out. So check that out. Oh, Russell wants to know, and I'll Larry, you got the firsthand experience of this. What did you think of Thomas Among's debut?
You know, he's strong, man. He can move people around. I like him. I think that there's, I think we're going to see some special things out of him this year. I think we're going to see him put the ball in the back of the net. I think that we are going to see him bully people on the pitch, even, you know, center backs who might be, you know, Forrest Lassu's size. He's a nice player. I liked what I saw. Quickness and strength. That's two big things.
Brad, it looks like you were going to open your mouth to say one thing.
You know, I agree with Larry. I think he put it up a lot better than I could. I'm just curious as to what we think this next game's predictions are going to be, since we haven't covered that before next week's episode.
Yeah, no, we'll get that in right now. Let's do it. Go, Brad. What's your prediction? You already know what mine is. Mine's a 2-2 yeah. draw with Colin Shuttler goal.
So I showed my Carolina Hurricanes jersey, and I'm going to stick with the numbers on that jersey. That's Sebastian Aho, number 20. So that means that Orange County is going to win 2-0 this weekend. It has nothing to do with logics and facts. I just think this team's going to come out and play a good game on the East Coast. Hopefully they figure out how to get to sleep at a decent time for an 11 a.m. kickoff, because that's going to be difficult, but I have faith in this team. And because number 20 is Colin Shuttler, I'm going to avoid making that mistake as Ray did. And I'm going to go with Thomas Among as the first goal scorer, number 21 for Orange County.
Perfect. Larry?
I'm not ready to make my full official prediction. I will make my well, you know, I need a little time to think about it. You know, give a brother a break. I'm still processing Las Vegas. We are going to win on Saturday. I absolutely believe that. I believe that Milan is going to get on the score sheet again. I think that Sparky is going to get on the score sheet again. I just haven't quite made a decision on exactly how many total we are going to score. But OCSC is going to win. We are going to give up one goal. I just don't know if we're looking at a 2-1 or a 3-1. I haven't really locked in myself on that.
There we go. And our producer's been throwing up the chats of what people's predictions are. So when you get a chance, you'll be able to fill those out into the official form to submit your responses or your predictions.
And go ahead and do that, because it just got reopened for next week's game now that we've talked about it.
There we go. Perfect. Quick random thoughts from everyone before we wrap up the show. Larry, do you have a random thought?
Yeah, I just changed my name from my dad's name to Common Sense Gun Laws Now. Another school shooting, another 3 children dead. That's as far as I'm going to go politically. We know what needs to be done. Something needs to be done about this. People need to do something about this. Our leaders need to do something about this. And as I do have a good friend of mine in Congress, I made a phone call to her today to talk with her about it. And there are some things that are trying to be, you know, worked out. And hopefully, God willing, that some things do get done. Sorry.
If this good friend loves soccer and loves Orange County, maybe they can come on the show and talk to us. I think she has more important things to discuss and deal with than talking with a bunch of idiots.
She is not a soccer fan, but I have tried to talk her into going to games, and I am still working on her to come to a game with me.
And let's go to Brad with a random thought from the state that has, you know, the most common sense when it comes to guns.
I'm going to ignore that statement, I guess. I don't know if that was a dig or not on the people of my state. No, I'm going to use my random thought to a little bit of shame, a little bit of intrigue. But last night at 3 o'clock, I was like, you know what? I've been looking at buying this for a while, but let me buy this. And I opened up my Amazon app because I had a gift card. I don't tend to use it on my own, but I had a gift card. And I bought myself a new little Ridge wallet, little tiny thing.
I've been looking at those things.
It's very nice. I like it, but that's not where the random thought's going. The random thought is I ordered this at 3 o'clock on a Sunday thinking I'm going to get it Monday or Tuesday, but a worker brought it over to my house at 7 o'clock that evening. And that's actually kind of disgusting to me because, like, that's, first of all, that's amazing that Amazon can do that. But second of all, that's just exploiting the worker. It feels like the worker shouldn't be put into a situation like that. It's unfair to the worker. They have a family.
Hey, but the worker's making some money to go. I mean, probably minimum wage, but they're making some money to do that. It's their choice to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is interesting. I have seen a lot more from Amazon of the same day delivery stuff, which is very interesting. It lets you know that they probably have warehouses in every little city now. So, and if we had Dylan here, Dylan would be like really frustrated with us talking about Amazon this much. So we'll stop talking about it right now. My random thought before we end, MLB The Show 23 came out. So I'm doing a lot of baseball playing right now. But I'm still following soccer, but that's my go-to video game for the next few months probably. So anyone looking for me on FIFA or eFootball, because I know Larry loves eFootball. If anyone's looking for me on those games, I probably won't be there. I want to thank our guest for the night, Mike from the Nutmeg State podcast, and also Orange County Defender, Alex Villanueva, for joining us tonight. As always, Brad, Larry, thanks for jumping on and talking with me on this, and Andy, our producer, for doing all the behind the scenes work, and all of our listeners who were contributing in the chats and talking with us on there. Thanks for listening to this episode. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out. Oh, God, yeah.